Okay, since I'm a little bit in the zen or zone right now, let's discuss love. Okay, and before you shut this off, like I'm sick of this, I don't want to hear. Nah, but we're talking about the true essence of what love is. And so it may be helpful just to discuss what love isn't at first. Okay, first of all, it's not attraction. It's not infatuation. It doesn't have to do with sexuality. It doesn't have to do with favoritism. It doesn't have to do with conditions or have to do per se with family or even intimate relationships. The type of love that we're discussing is universal love. Now, true enough, when you get to the level of universals, the actual term that is used is somewhat arbitrary. Okay, so that means that we could term this as different things. We could term it as energy, reality, truth, beauty. But we're talking about the aspect of universal reality termed as love, very often misunderstood. That's why we're gonna entertain this somewhat awkward topic to some. And by the end of this, hopefully, we'll see a little bit clearer that love is what we are. That love is not an action. And that love is not a noun. It's not something that can be gained or that can be taken away or that can be really even given. It's just something that you are, that I am, that we are. It's an actual essence that binds things together in a cohesion. It's the force that allows things to exist. And while if I explained it as energy, it may be a little bit too impersonal. Explaining it as love is a very vital aspect of comprehending what is this message of awareness and how does love fit into it. Love fits into it because it is the primordial essence that connects things. So that's all that everything is composed of. That's it. When we perceive hatred or anger or fear or despair, those things are all manifestations of separation and are merely the lack of love, the absence of love, or the smallest amount of love. But even hatred is a form of love because it still shows connection between two aspects. Now, this is asking a little bit of something from all the listeners of this talk. Many of you already very well know these topics. However, most of us still need to come to embody these truths. So, a first general guideline is to be without, attempt to be, I'll say it that way, without fail, kind to each and every expression of life in all its aspects. To be kind and forgiving to yourself, to all those around you. And to everything that is sentient, and we know that all things are sentient. We know that we're in a hypersentient construct where all things are vibrating in unison at the fundamental or harmonic that they can embody this same connection. And there's a great need, a great call, so to speak, today, now, in this moment, for people to start to comprehend this, understand this truth, choose an intention of becoming and remaining universal love and not deviating. And in the purity of that intent, there we see the transformation of humanity. And through that, the earth as a whole. Because then we start to rejoin back with the throngs of beings who sing endlessly praise to infinity and give thanks, give gratitude for our existence, and ask, what is the best way that I can serve out my mission of the purpose of why I am here and now in the exact circumstances that I am? Wherever I am, how can I then embody universal love essence that is beyond unconditionality, because it merges the object of the love, the subject, and all aspects of the process into one. So true love is unity with the object of one's love. Through the process of truly embodying love for something, one understands it, understands it, overstands it from every angle, and becomes unified with that thing. So, we have a choice of what we will choose to direct our love to. And for those who conceive it to be limited, as most do, they pick favorites. Some people are the chosen ones. Others are on a lower level. Or even in extreme cases, they will say, you are my enemy. They may not hesitate to kill such a person. So for those who believe that love is limited, we see the manifestation of limitation in their reality. It's a much different story if you start with the faith of all the enlightened teachers that love is infinite, that we are love, that there is no bounds to what it can achieve. And then we test that hypothesis. This is the soul science, the divine science of love. And I'm going to say that word a lot of times. As I told you, if you haven't shut this message off by now, then we're probably good to go. And you may entertain this and begin to practice this in your life. And note the results, and then refine the hypothesis and say, well, maybe I don't really know what love is then, because, well, I didn't feel like I was able to do this, or the way that someone treated me, that didn't seem like love. But what layer were you looking at it on? What octave could you perceive from? Could you pierce all the way to their foundational intention and see that when they struck out at you, maybe it was more so the hurt animal that's desperate and feels trapped? right? Or that it's the traumatized child that needs to cry but feels like they have to put on a tough exterior in order to make it through the day, right? So that's what this is all about. This word, reason why there's so much misunderstanding in the English language especially, is because it's so misused to explain essentially every use of the word. 70-80%, it bears little resemblance to the true essence of love, which is beyond all space and time, beyond all conditions, and unites all things as they begin to vibrate in sympathy with one another. Okay, it's just a physics. When things come into the same oscillation, over time they will begin to build up a sympathetic vibration. And that is how love operates and why it's the most powerful force in the universe. Because through that process, you can merge yourself. We can merge ourselves with anything by making ourselves one with that thing. That is the ultimate act of love, is seeing that there is no superiority, no inferiority, that things are utterly mutual, completely neutral, balanced, and leveled out, right? And that's the utmost of respect. So, once we start to practice kindness towards ourselves and others as best we can in every moment, especially towards ourselves, because that's where a lot of the negativity projected towards others comes from, is from self-hatred that needs to be processed. And there's many ways to go about this. The easiest is just to do what you already do. And that might be a shock that you'll listen to this and perceive that I'm trying to make you do something new or different. That's not the fact. We're talking about being something different. So you simply do the same things that you do already with a new perspective, with a new intention, one of desiring to know the truth, one of desiring to understand and be filled with the wisdom which will enable us to perceive the fundamental, universalized love essence that is the cause of every effect, and that is the cohesion to this multiverse, to the cosmos. It's the magnetic attractive force. So hopefully now we've greatly distanced this from the generic concept of love and infatuation and sensuality, possessiveness, jealousy, pain, suffering, agony. All of these things are typically associated with love. And they are aspects, because we're talking about something that is very vast. When we're exploring vastnesses, we know that everything that we look at as common is going to be within that space and more. So that's why I was requesting that we stretch ourselves a little bit. It doesn't have to do with changing yourself. It has to do with merely allowing yourself to expand. That's all. It's not a forceful process. One of the toughest things for some is merely the faith aspect. And that word also has negative and positive connotations. Very positive for some who consider themselves within Christianity. Very negative from others who are more scientific and see this as a way of glorifying ignorance. But to pierce beyond both of those, faith in itself is a foundation on what is firm, truly, that one cannot use logic to prove. And then for others, the toughest thing may be simply the discipline of always maintaining on this intention of being love. Not with being loving, not with loving others, but being love. Now, this is a very basic teaching, but also one that is super difficult to put into practice at every instant. This teaching should be given to every 2-year-old child, 3-year-old child. This is called the universal curriculum. This is where we study the inherent truths, which are oftentimes uncomfortable, but are really quite magnificent and amazing once one is willing to put aside all fears and distortions. So, this is just a brief either introduction, review, you know, crash course, I guess one could say, in the dynamics of what is termed as love. So, of course, on the topics that there's a great deal of confusion or ignorance or distortion in the world at large, they need constant exposition into clearer and more certain forms. What we're doing through this practice of universal love is beginning from certainty. Instead of beginning from an unknown, which is absurd, saying that it's just absurd. You want to begin from a certainty. That is where faith steps in. And there is a large split or division in that aspect. But you must begin with something solid in order to then found yourself. So we're still talking about the foundation of our being and how all things are interconnected. You know, at times it feels like just spilling off what are seen as platitudes, but what we're talking about is getting to the heart of those sayings. Well, why did a person say this? And was it a myth? Or which truth does it carry? Of course, we know that all statements are half lie, half truth, because we're working in a limited language. Truth itself, love itself, is silent. Okay, so this also doesn't have to do with a whole lot of fanfare. Love doesn't have to do with, you know, announcing something at the top of your voice or doing a lot of showy things. It's actually quite simple. And it has to do with an inner essence. So we're not talking about personality, anything on the exterior. We're talking about the internal intentions made manifest into a a solidity, a lastingness, a meaningfulness. So this is a very large topic, and yet being in the zone, wanted to start to discuss it because we really haven't used the terminology of love. I at times avoid it because of the misunderstanding surrounding it and how people instantly entertain these ideas of romance and Disney movies and one's family, and there's so many associations people have with the word. But it's a very powerful concept when understood properly. That's why I felt it was good to give this brief talk on what is love truly and how can we practice it in our daily lives. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope that you found something of value in this recording.